we've been talking on Honor, the Honor series at the minute, over the past maybe 2-3 months. And it's been incredible, incredible series. And it's really been really applicable and really, 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 a really easy series just apply to our lives and everything we do and everything we go about in our everyday lives. They apply to our friends, to our family, to our attitudes, to our own experiences. And what I wanted to do was just take that and apply that to God. You know, how do we honor God in all this? And I know everything we do to each other, everything we do for each other honors God in that. But how do we, in our own personal relationship, give that to God? How do we honor a being that is just like so far above our understanding, our comprehension? How do we take that honor and how do we cast that his way? How do we even start to do that? Because it's such an expansive thing to think about honoring a being that's just indescribable in words. So I took this, I've had this thought for a long time now, brewing in my head. And it's been really encouraging me, and it's been something that I've been really trying to apply to my life and trying to live out and work out. And I was just thinking, you know, how like, if you look at Isaiah 43, we'll throw this up here, Isaiah 43, 7, first slide. It says, whom I created for my glory. Now, we were created for glory. That word glory right there in the Old Testament is 32 times translated as honor. So God created us to honor. We were created to honor him. We were created for his honor. He took honor in creating us as well as we were created to give him honor back and to sow honor to other people. And that really, really touched me, thinking about that. Thinking, you know, we sometimes think, how can we throw honor? How can we serve honor? How do we sow honor back to God? When the thing is, we're created to honor God. We are created to do this. God wouldn't create us to do something we can't do. You know what I mean? He never gives a way out of something we can't do. Now, God gave us the law so that Jesus could die to the law and fulfill that for us, but he still gave us a way to fulfill that law. He gave us the way through Jesus to fulfill that. Now, God wouldn't ask us to honor him if there was no way to do it. It would be unfair. It would be unjust for him to do that. And God's a just God. So God's created us a way to honor him. And I started thinking through this and sieving it through my brain and trying to sort it out. And I've been thinking for a long time about rest as well. And I was thinking, these two, God show me something. So he was, because he was talking to me about these two things at the same time. How do you honor me? Like in personal relationship. And then what is rest in that? Because we're obviously not required to go about striving to please God all the time. He doesn't want us to strive constantly to do this, to do that, to fulfill his law, to fulfill all his commandments. He doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to be at rest in him. So I was thinking, how do I honor you in everything I do, but also rest in that? How do I achieve rest and be peaceful in who you are? So I started 7-3, like I said, and I thought, you know, honoring God through rest is like if you're in a car with someone, right? So if you're going for a road trip down to Dublin, and let's say Hannah, right? Hannah's driving me down to Dublin, and I'm freaking out in the passenger seat. I am flat out scared out of my wits that Hannah's driving this car. I'm scared about where I'm going. I'm scared about how she's driving. I don't know if she can control the car, and I'm clinging on that wee safety harness. I don't even know what them things are for in a car. Does anybody know what they're for? That you cling on to, but I would grab onto that, right? So imagine me flying in a car, grabbing onto that, freaking out. That's not trusting Hannah. That's not trusting the driver of the car. And at the same time with that, it's not honoring Hannah, because I'm not showing her trust. I'm not showing that I believe in her. I'm not showing that I trust in where she's taking me, where she's going, what she's doing. And in essence, it's a complete lack of faith, trust, and honor in that. And quite a lot of the time, whether we know it or not, we all do it. And I still do it till today. I'm sure I've done it a couple of times. We still freak out, even about wee things, about big things, about medium-sized things. We all freak out at stuff. And when we freak out at stuff, it's kind of like going, God, I'm not too sure if you can do this. I'm not too sure if you've got this. I'm not too sure if you're going to do it again for me. I know you've done maybe healed a couple of people, maybe seen a couple of financial miracles, but I'm not too sure whether you've got this part this time. So I'm going to freak out about it, and I'm going to think about it, and I'm going to try and do my best at what I can do for this. But what we're required to do is rest in God. God always says, trust in me. Put your faith in me. Believe in me. I'm going to do this. I'm going to have you here. I have your back. But we don't often get to that point. Often when something hits you in the face, say a bill comes through your door, and you go, I can't pay this. You freak out. God's going, rest in me. Believe in me, I've got you here. But we freak out. Which, you know what, sometimes is understandable. It's okay at that point to go, I don't actually have money. How am I going to pay this? But God's going, you know what, even though you see that with your eyes, believe in me. But how do we get to that place? Because in Hebrews 4:11, the next one, it says, let us therefore strive to enter the rest, that rest. And I was thinking, you know, that's such an oxymoron in so many ways. Because rest isn't something that is striveful. You know what I mean? You don't have to, if you're in rest, you're not trying to earn or achieve. You're just resting. You're just in complete trust. And I was like, flip me, that's a bit mental. Like, strive to enter that rest. So I started trying to unpack this. Like, you know, God wants us to strive. If anything in this life, if there's anything he wants us to work at, to really par for, to really go at, it's rest. Because he wants us just to go, you know what, God, you've got this. I am worried. It's going, you know, I am maybe a wee bit worried. I am maybe a wee bit apprehensive about what the outcome's going to be. But God, I trust you. You've got this. You've got my journey. You've got my journey before me. You've got my journey after me. I'm gonna trust you in this. So it's like, how do we? Because it's fair and well. You know, it's brilliant to go. We all know we have to rest in God. We all know we have to have this faith. We all have to know that he's doing it for us, that he's taking us somewhere, that he's got a plan no matter what happens. It's all fair and well saying that. But in reality, how do you get there? When you're broke, it's the week before the payday, you're driving down the motorway and your car breaks down. It's all fair and well saying rest in God, he's got your back. But if you're stranded in the middle of the night in the motorway, it's not a very restful place to be. You're going to panic. How do you take the steps in them situations in life when we encounter them potholes in our journeys, when we encounter them things in life? How do we take them steps to be restful in God? Because we're told it all the time, but how do we do it? Because there is a journey to rest. There's basic steps that we can take, and there's simple steps that we can take to put our rest and our trust in God. And I wanted to kind of take us through them this morning because I think it's really important. Like, my heart in this, I'm going to cast the vision at the end, but I'm just going to cast a wee bit now. My heart in this is that I want to see a culture of people. I want to see a group of people raised up who just have complete devotion, honor, confidence, and expectation in God. I want to see people who are just going about their daily life. Not that nothing wrong ever happens, because here's the thing. That would be a fallacy to tell you that you can go through life and nothing wrong is ever going to happen. I don't believe that the wrong is for you, that the wrong is your lot, but it's going to happen. There will be things in life that will hit a speed bump. Do you know what I mean? We'll hit something. But here's the thing. God doesn't put them in our place. God doesn't place them there to make you stumble. God doesn't put them things in your life to hurt you. God doesn't want that. I don't believe God puts any of that in our lives. But we do encounter things in life that are kind of like, right, where do you go now? Where do I place my rest? And I want to see a culture of people who, when that happens, they can stand up and go, God, I know who you are. I know that you're solid. I know you're my rock, like we sung this morning. I know you're for me, that you're with me, and that you're never going to forsake me. I want to see a culture and a group of people who will rise up and know that that's their lot. And I also want to see people who can go into the world, and when somebody else is in a situation like that, when somebody else is in down and out, has no hope, you can turn and you go, you know what? Even if you have nothing to be thankful for, there's Christ. You know what I mean? There's something here. There's Jesus. Somebody died for you. You know what I mean? If that happened today, if we saw that happen, that somebody actually went, you know what? You've done wrong, and I'm going to go die for you. We would be hugely thankful. You'd need nothing else in your life again to be thankful for if that happened, that you knew somebody traded their life for you. So I want to see people who can go out into the world and go, you have this, be thankful for it. Cultivate that trust and that rest in me and spread that to other people. Give that to other people. Give that rest. Give that confidence to the others. So I was thinking, and I was like, where's the first stepping stone? Where is the first stepping stone to rest? Where's the first stepping stone to achieving that? And I was thinking, and I got this word from God, and God was like, thanks is a fast track back to the kingdom mentality. So God was saying, thanks is your fastest track back into my kingdom, back into the mentality that I'm sowing from my kingdom. And I was like, flip, that's a bit brave to say, because we don't often think about how we keep ourselves in kingdom. We don't often think about about our daily lives and going, how am I keeping myself in kingdom today? How am I keeping myself in line with God's word? How am I staying restful in him? But God was saying, this is how, this is the steps that I want you to take to be at rest in me. So the first step, the first point that I took down is thanks. When a terrible time comes and hits you, the best thing that we can do to keep ourselves in that mind is thanks, is stopping, taking a minute and going, Lord, I may be looking at something that's horrible here. I may be looking at something that's terrible in my life, but I'm going to choose to be thankful for the things you did before, not what I'm afraid of happening next. I'm going to look behind me and go, Lord, you've done this before. You've done that before. You've done this before. I'm not going to worry about what's going to happen at this point because I haven't seen it yet. That hasn't happened. I don't need to worry. So I'm going to be thankful for what you've done. And that's part of this culture that I want to see cultivated, is that we're a culture of people who are thankful for what we do have and what we have had, not for what we don't and what we don't see. You know what I mean? We can just look back and go, you know what? There has been bad times in my life. There have been times where I've struggled. But we've all got things to be thankful for. We're all sitting in here today, and every single one of us have something. Like I said, something to be thankful for. We all have something we can look at. And I just thought, you know, in everything. So, Psalms 104, if we flip on to the next one, is enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And I was just like, you know what? That is so powerful. Like, that is incredible that we can enter God's gates with thanksgiving. We can enter his gates with thanksgiving. And that's a word for us on earth. That's a kingdom word for here and now. That isn't a word for when we get to heaven. Because when we get to heaven, we're all going to be thankful. Do you know what I mean? We're not going to get to heaven and have to thank St. Peter at the gate to get into heaven. You know what I mean? We're not going to go, thanks very much, mate, and walk through the gate. That's not going to happen. This is a kingdom word for now. This is a now word. Where when we cultivate thanksgiving, when we cultivate that heart on earth, we enter his gates. And then when we do that, we can enter his courts with praise. I think that's incredible. You can get through the gate, and you can stand in God's gates, in his garden, around his house. And you can stand there, and you get there with thanksgiving. And then see, once you've done giving thanksgiving, see, once you've cultivated that long enough, you get the place of worship and praise. Because when you cultivate a heart of thanksgiving, when you get stuck in to giving thanks, you start cultivating a heart of worship inside of you. And then you can get into his courts. You make your way in further into the kingdom. I think that's incredible. And I just want to give you an example of something that me and Hannah have maybe went through recently that was really tough and really challenging. And I was actually sorting this all out in my mind at the time. And about three Fridays ago, we were doing youth. We were away up to Kells in Ballymena with the youth. And we got home to my mum, who was looking after Ariella, our daughter. And my mum was like, look, I don't want to panic yous. You were driving home when this happened, and I didn't want you to worry, so I thought I'd wait till you get back here. But Ariella's got a really bad rash all up her legs, so she has, up to her knees. So Hannah was like, flip. So we looked at the rash, and we got a cup, and we rolled the glass up and down her leg, like you do, and it didn't go away. And this rash was very suspect. Like, it panicked me. Like, it did panic me to my core, although at the time I was trying my hardest to stand strong. It was like this. There was like bruises all under her skin in a patch, and straight away we were like, flip, this is horrific, what are we going to do? So we rushed straight up the hospital, but on the way up, I was just going, this isn't for us. This isn't our lot. This isn't what's in our future. We're not looking at our daughter being sick. We're not going to accept that. So I started giving thanks. Because I knew I was doing this, and I knew if I can't practice this at least once when something bad's happened. And we didn't even know that something bad had happened. You know what I mean? Could have been a rash, could have been a heat rash, could have been anything. But we panic, and I started to panic, and I started to freak out. And I went, you know what? I'm not panicking about something I haven't seen yet. I'm going to start giving thanks about what I have seen. So I started going inside myself and cultivating and going, thank you, Lord, for the healing I have seen in my life, the healing I've seen in Hannah's life, the healing we've seen in other people's lives. And I started going, you know what? That's for us. That's our lot. That's what we're looking forward to. And it was really tough, and this is what I'm trying to say. Thanks isn't an easy thing in them times. It's not. It's not easy to turn around and go, thank you, Lord, when you're dealing with the biggest load of rubbish of your day or your week or your month or your year can throw at you. It's not easy to do. It's a choice. It's something we have to step back and go, Lord, I am choosing. I am choosing in this time that we're struggling, I am choosing to give thanks for the things you've done. Yes, there's something around me. It's not ignoring the things that happen. It's not expecting nothing will ever happen again. It's actually going in these times when something happens that's tough, that we struggle with, we choose to give thanks in that. We choose to say, thank you, Lord, that you've done ABC. Not thank you, Lord, that you've done something bad in our lives. Because the Lord doesn't give us bad in our lives. He doesn't throw stuff in our lives to make us stumble. It's looking back and going, thank you, Lord, for what you have done. Thank you, Lord, that you've healed me of dyslexia. Thank you, Lord, that you've healed me of epilepsy. Thank you for these things. Thank you for all of that, Lord. But that's our lot. Got up to the hospital and got Ariella checked out, and she was sweet. You know what I mean? Now, she was okay. And I panicked, and we had panicked for nothing. Well, we panicked because we're up in the hospital for flipping 8 hours straight. But we panicked originally because we thought, this is meningitis. Flip, this is meningitis. What are we going to do? And it was like, you know what? We don't know that. We don't know what's in our future. We can't see what's in our future. All we know is what's in our past. And there may have been tough stuff in the past, but we know the good stuff that happened too, and we can choose to be thankful for that. So it's about cultivating that heart of thanks in them times. It's about creating that mentality that it's kind of like a habit. It's causing that habit of, right, something bad's happened. Let's start giving thanks. Let's start praising God for what he's done. And that's exactly what 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says. It says, give thanks in all circumstances. And I thought, you know what? It's not give thanks when something good happens. And it is. You give thanks when something good happens. You know, you do. You give thanks. Lord, thank you for this house we've got. Thank you for that car we've got. Thank you that you've healed us. But in all circumstances, that's not what happens. All circumstances are the tough times as well. It's turning around going, Lord, I know you. Thank you for that. And see, when we get into that place of thanks, we start remembering testimony. We start remembering the things that God has done, the things that he's done before. And that creates memories of testimony of other people's lives, of our own lives. And that creates the knowledge of who God is in our head. And when we get to that place that we start to know him, we start to remember who he is, remember his good deeds in our lives, remember his good deeds in biblical times, that cultivates a heart of worship. And that's the next step, is getting to that place of worship. When we're deep, deep in heartful thanks, when we're at that place where we're like just going all for it and thanking God, we get into this place of worship. That's what worship is. Worship's adoring God for the things he's done, adoring God for who he is. And that's giving thanks. And that leads us down that road of worship and just praising him for that. And I just thought, you know, just cultivating that, it just really blows my mind that we can do that here on earth. We can cultivate that kingdom where it's like, it's a basic thing. It's a basic choice in them times of struggles. Thank you, Lord. Lead that down the road and you hit worship. And worship is a beautiful thing. God created us to worship. God created us to be worshipers, to adore him, to love him. And that in itself is such an honor. The fact that the creator of everything, the creator of the stars, the galaxies, the planets miles and miles and thousands of light years away, he lets us be intimate with him. He lets us come into his gates, come into his courts. He lets us be close with him, be thankful to him, like have communication with him. Like even imagine it being like that, saying, I want you to be intimate with me. I want you to stand close to me, stand beside me, walk with me. I'll walk with you and thank me and honor me and praise me. I think that is amazing that we even have the honor to worship. And I just think, like, it blows my mind when you start really, in fact, it really does blow your mind if you start thinking about that. You start thinking about who God is and how he relates to us and lets us relate to him back. Because him relating to us, you can understand. You know, him talking to us, communing with us, you can understand that. But the fact that he lets us in to his world, he lets us drag down his kingdom, bring his kingdom down to earth, to live in this time, at this place, that is a beautiful thing. That just really melts my heart. And that place of worship makes you realize, getting that heart of worship takes you to a place where you realize that ultimately God's in control. Do you know what I mean? Ultimately, before I trip off the stage, that was mental. I'm going over this side. Ultimately, when we get to that place of worship, of true heartfelt, Lord, you are incredible for all the good you've done in my life. When we get to that place, you create this idea in your head that God is ultimately in control always and forever and always has been. Because when we're thankful for all that stuff that he's done in our lives, which we all have something to be thankful for. When we cultivate that and then we get into worship, it's going, Lord, you're in control. We know you are. Thank you. We love you. We worship you. We're in that place. And see, when you realize that, that leads you to a place of rest right there. That takes you to this place where it's like, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. You are amazing. You're in control. And now I'm restful in the fact that I know this place in my future that I'm worried about, you've got it. And you know what? The outcome might not be what you even expected. It might not be. But ultimately, when that outcome comes that you didn't even expect, that you didn't actually think was going to be the outcome, or even if you didn't want it to be the outcome, it takes you to a place where when that happens again, you thank God, you worship God, and you rest in God, that he has a plan, that he has your back, that he has your future, that he has your past, that he has everything that you'll ever do. And that just blows my mind yet again, that we can get to that place of rest so easily. Because it is, and they are choices. They're tough choices that we have to make and cultivate and grow in. And that's why I'm using this word cultivate constantly, because it is a cultivation process. It's a process of picking out the old habits, the bad weeds, them old crappy ideas and ideologies that we have, picking them weeds out and planting new seed. And that takes a while. We have to water them seeds. We have to let them grow. We have to see them grow in our own hearts and our own minds. And then that's when you start to see a habit form. And habits start to grow in us. And we start to create this exact pattern, this pattern of true rest, where we get to this place where it's like, Lord, you've got me. You've got me. You've got my past. You've got my future. You always have. And I just think seeing a generation of people, and this is what I was casting to youth on Friday, just seeing a generation of people growing up, a generation of people moving forward and going out into the world that that lead a lifestyle like that, it will be so powerful, like so unbelievably powerful when we start to give that to the rest of our world. One minute. Got a bit of cotton in my mouth. When we start to take that to the rest of the world, it's incredible. And when we get to that place of rest, we can be confident that everything's covered, that God always had it covered, always will have it covered. And if we just stick up Psalms 46, 1-3. So this is rest to me. This is what I saw in the Bible, and I saw this is rest. You know, it says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. That's the part where that's rest. It's not going, I don't have trouble. It's not saying there's no trouble, there never will be trouble. Rest is the knowledge that there might be. And that's not to condemn in any way. That's not me saying God isn't good. You know, because even a car breaking down is a thing we worry about. Do you know what I mean? And God doesn't break our cars. Like, definitely doesn't. God doesn't hurt us. God doesn't break us. But there is times where things come into life that we need to work through, and that we need this stepping stone. My daughter's obviously loving me. She's crying away. There's a place where we need to cultivate that. And that is true rest. Going, you know, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Knowing that, going, God is our help in times of trouble, that's rest. Going, Lord, I might not see it, but I'm at rest. And I just think the vision of that, like I've been casting, is just so incredible. The vision of being a people that that have these basic steps, these stepping stones in life. That, because let's face it, it's sometimes our biggest downfall. I know it is for me, especially, I'll just be really honest here. Some of my biggest downfalls in my faith and my relationship with God is when times are tough. It really is. It's the times where you're really tested. It's easy to have faith when you're living in paradise. It's easy to have faith when everything's sweet, everything's perfect, everything's gold. It's easy. But it's the times when we have struggles, times when we don't quite understand what's going on, which is quite often the reality is that most of our worry actually just turns out to be worry. It wasn't actually formed in anything that we knew in the first place. It's only ever going to be worry. I think it's like, it was a stat that Andrew talked about one time up here, and it was like 70%, now don't quote me on that, but it's a high, high percentage of people, their worries will just always be a worry. It's never going to actually manifest in anything. Manifest, that was brilliant. It's never going to manifest in anything. Your worry will just constantly be a worry, no matter what you do. It's never going to turn out. So when we know these things, and we go, you know what, God, you're good, and we cultivate, like I said, that culture, that is so powerful that we can be a people that are just like, God's got it. God always has. He always had the plan, you know. From the start of time to when Christ died on the cross, it was a long time, but God had it. You know what I mean? God had that plan, and God did it, and it was perfect, and it was the perfect way he wanted to do it, and it was the perfect time, and it worked. It was never going to not work, because he knew what he was doing. And he's the same for our lives. He knows what he's doing. He knows where he's taking us. He knows where he's going to go. He knows everything, down to the time, the date, the hour, that everything's going to happen. Like, and that blows my mind when we create that vision in a church of people. And I think the application of it as well, I want to talk about it, is just them three steps, really setting them. Like, if you're going to write down anything today, write it somewhere, write it in your hand, write it in a book, write it in your phone, anywhere, write down them three steps. Well, even the last one isn't really a step. So it's like two steps, because the two steps lead you to the final step. It's so simple. You've got thanks, and thanks itself, if we do it properly and we cultivate that in reality, will naturally lead to worship. And when that worship is naturally established and we acknowledge who he is, that naturally leads to rest. And that is an incredible thing. That is such a powerful tool. And the thing is, it's going to be tough. To actually install that in our lives in times of trouble is so tough, because you want to worry. You want to try and fix the future. We want to try and make what's going to happen different, but we can't. We're not going to make what's going to happen different. It's already planned. God has us. God has our lives in his hands. And I think that application where we have them steps, that God's going, this is the route that I want you to take. I want you to be thankful, grow into worship, and then grow into rest. When we grasp that and we really, really root that into our heart, let that grow, it's so powerful. And the challenge is that this week you're going to be faced with something to do that. And are we going to choose to lead? Are we going to choose to do that? Are we going to choose when yet again our car breaks down the motorway or whatever happens? Something happens. Are we going to choose to go, okay, that's tough. Let's be thankful for what he's done. Let's be thankful for what God's brought us through, what he's taken us from, and where he's taken us to. Let's be thankful that, you know what, if you have nothing else to be thankful in your life for, just thank God for who he is. You know what I mean? Sometimes you may look around and you can't see things to be thankful for. But what I always started to do, what I always try to do, sometimes I have, and it's so stupid. It is honestly the stupidest thing I could ever do. I try to go, oh, I've got nothing to be thankful for. And I'm just like, what are you doing? Knock that in the head. Do you know what? And I take myself from that place and I go, you know what? If I can't see things in my life to be thankful for, because I'm daft if I'm like that, if I can't see that, I just go, thank you, Lord, for you. Thank you for who you are. And see, when you do that, see, when you start going, thank you, God, for who you are, you remember, oh, remember God did that. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you, God, for my family. Thank you, God, for my wife. Thank you for my church. Thank you for whatever. You lead yourself. You naturally do this domino effect in your life of when you thank for one thing, when you just make that choice to step out, just go, thank you, God, for who you are, it knocks something else. And that will remind you of something else. And that will remind you of something else. And then you're down that road.